The story continues to be today, Hugo Chavez and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who is still, I think, Ahmadinejad's press conference started about 10:30, and he's just now answering the third question. Every question this guy gets, he rambles on for hours with his answer. But Chavez, as we speak, ladies and gentlemen, Hugo Chavez is in Harlem. And he has received standing ovations as he was introduced. Danny Glover just had his photo op with Hugo Chavez this one day after the Danny Glover is speaking, even as we speak. From what I'm told, they had to bus a bunch of people in for this. They're from Alaska. They're from Canada. But there are a good number of locals there, too. Harlem, as you know, has a deep appreciation for thug dictators. They go nuts when Fidel Castro shows up there. And this is, wait till you see the polls next week, folks, after this circus has taken place with Chavez and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. If you think the poll movement has been dramatic in favor of Bush and the Republicans now, wait till you see after all of this. Chavez sitting in a throne-like chair, bouncing little baby girls on his lap. I think both these guys have been given advice by Democrats and Democrat PR people. Ahmadinejad started his press conference today by apologizing to the people of New York for the traffic tie-ups that he is causing. He said he would love to get out and talk to the people on the streets of New York, but security just wouldn't allow it. Hugo Chavez is going to announce, it's thought that he is going to announce more oil giveaways to the poor people of Harlem to accommodate for the cold-hearted energy policies of the devil. He is expected to repeat parts of his speech that he gave yesterday at the United Nations. Now, where do you think at the New York Times and the Washington Post, you would find stories about what happened yesterday at the United Nations with Hugo Chavez? Well, in the Washington Post, you got to go to page A14. Headline, Venezuelan leader demonizes Bush. On the New York Times, you have to go to page A20 to find a story about this. And the headline is, Iran who? Venezuela takes the lead in a battle of anti-U.S. soundbites. They compare Mahmoud Ahmadinejad with Chavez. Chavez was just more colorful, says the reporter. David Brooks in the New York Times today has an interesting op-ed in which he says there is such a gap, I would call it a disconnect. Chavez is now on the stage. Our tapes are rolling. We will be rolling on the tape. We'll have soundbites when Chavez finishes. We are not going to jip this. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to give him that privilege. Point David Brooks makes is that there's a huge disconnect, or gap, he calls it, between the elites in Washington and the people in the country over A, terrorism, over B, Ahmadinejad, and C, over Hugo Chavez, over this whole scenario and how to deal with Iran and how to deal with terrorists. The elites want to appease, the elites want to dialogue, the elites want to talk, and you, the people of the country, are tired of it, and you don't want to put up with it any longer. And it's you're asking, when are the people that lead us going to get upset about this? When are our leaders going to see this the way we do? I think Brooks nails it on this. Now, get this. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, after calling President Bush the devil, later spoke to hundreds of New Yorkers who filled a college hall on Wednesday night, saying he hopes Americans choose an intelligent president in the future. This was at the Cooper Union, by the way. I'm not an enemy of the U.S. I'm a friend of the U.S., the people of the U.S., Chavez said. The audience included union organizers and professors. And he got a standing ovation from that contingent of the American left. College professors and union organizers. He drew a standing ovation when he said that Bush committed genocide during the war in Iraq. The president of the United States should go before an international tribunal, Chavez said. He compared the Bush administration's actions to those of the Nazis. He called U.S. consumerism madness at a Marathon news conference, saying Americans have wasteful habits in using oil and energy. And he accused Bush of neglecting the poor. We are his number one customer for oil. Nobody buys more oil from Venezuela than does the United States. 1.5 million barrels a day. If you go around the country and you see a Citgo station, that's Hugo Chavez. A Citgo station is owned by Venezuela, the nationalized oil company there, owned by Hugo Chavez. Now, the question has been raised, will people stop shopping at Citgo gas stations? No. It's not the way the Americans purchase. Gasoline is one of these commodities. They'll price hunt. They'll go out and find the best value, and that's where they will continue to go. I'd be amazed if there were a boycott of Citgo, although I'm sure people will try to organize one, but I'd be amazed if it works. One of the things I pointed out yesterday, I said, wait till the Democrats respond to this. Most of the Democrats will say, well, yeah, it's a stupid thing, a little dumb thing to say, but Bush created the atmosphere. Bush made it possible, and lo and behold, William Delahunt, a congressman from Massachusetts, from Quincy, who helped negotiate a deal in which Venezuela has provided discounted heating oil to tens of thousands of Boston-area residents, said that Chavez's comments were silly and inappropriate, but added that he has personally counseled Chavez against using such harsh rhetoric. But Delahunt asserted that the Bush administration's foreign policy deserves some blame for fostering a climate where a world leader could offer such strident denunciations of the American president in front of the General Assembly. This is Bill Delahunt, who has made a deal with the real devil in order to score some PR points with his sad, pathetic constituents. And these people are so easy to predict. It is not even a challenge to predict what Democrats are going to do. I know them like every square inch of my glorious naked body. Delahunt is not the only one, but many of them are standing mute. Not many Democrats have spoken up, and none. Has anybody denounced him? Did Pelosi denounce him? Pelosi did denounce him. Says an everyday thug. Okay, so the leader of the House Democrats did sort of mildly denounce Hugo Chavez. But there has been no outrage from the Democrats on his assault on the United States of America. And I am predicting to you that behind closed doors, a bunch of them are saying what Delahunt here said publicly. Yeah, a little off the wall, a little over the top. It's Bush's fault. Bush set the stage for this. These are the kinds of things, ladies and gentlemen, that the Democrats can't predict. Why do you think they put these stories, A14 and A20, Washington Post, New York Times? Why do you think they buried the Hugo Chavez story? I'll tell you why. They're either embarrassed about it, or they are trying to protect the Democrats, or a combination of both. Option B, I know, is the, they might be embarrassed about it in an equal sense, in that they're embarrassed because this is too obvious. And it's too obvious when Chavez says what he said, calling the Bush the devil. It's so obvious, it's closer to what the Democrats and anybody else are saying, that's why they're embarrassed. And so they bury it so to protect the Democrats, rather than, if this doesn't rate the first and front page of newspapers, I don't know what does. I got a chance to listen a little bit of Hugo Chavez's speech. He's at a church in Harlem, ladies and gentlemen, a black church. Danny Glover was there. Crowd is rambunctious. Crowd is overjoyed. Crowd is giving him loud applause, standing O's, very frequently. Sounding like a true multiculturalist. Sounding like he has been briefed by some university professor in the United States of America. Hugo Chavez said that Europeans devastated America 500 years ago and massacred you, meaning the black audience in the church. You, he said to the black audience in the church, you are the original aborigines of America. And 500 years ago, Europe thrived by massacring you, and the place erupted. The place went absolutely nuts. Now, the thing to learn about this, he's talking to Democrat voters. People say to me when I say things like this, Rush, why must you always boil everything down to Republicans and Democrats? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I am America's truth detector. If you find yourself asking, Why in the world would this guy be invited anywhere to speak in the United States of America? Take a look at who's extending the invitations. Columbia University has extended an invitation to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad for Friday. Union thugs, union organizers and professors listened to Chavez, gave him standing ovations at the Cooper Union last night. Now another Harlem church, much as they extend invitations to Fidel Castro, extended an invitation to Hugo Chavez. A very high up elite from Princeton University is there with Hugo Chavez right now. Chavez thanked him for being there. So you have American liberals, and liberals are found in the Democratic Party. You have American liberals organizing the speaking tours of Ahmadinejad and Hugo Chavez. And they are getting their audience to show up for these addresses and speeches these guys are making. And these are Democrat voters. So that's, I mean, it may not like it boiled down to that simple equation, but that's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, it's not a bunch of Republicans up there cheering. You know, it's not a people love America up there cheering. You know, it's not a bunch of people who have a great deal of respect and support for a lunatic like Hugo Chavez up there cheering. It's not average, ordinary Americans that are listening to these two guys and giving him huge rounds of applause. The people that are showing up and organizing these events are people who hate this country for whatever perverted reasons that they have. And there are a whole host of them. Audio soundbite time. We have a little montage here from Good Morning America today from Kate Snow and her report. Whole piece on how Chavez has taken Bush bashing to a whole new level. And these people love it. You can hear it in her tone. Listen to this.
The leader of Venezuela is taking Bush bashing to a whole new level.
In Latin America, Chavez has become a cult hero. He rarely sleeps, chugs 20 cups of coffee a day, and has a soft spot for Frank Sinatra. He's even attracted a following in this country. Harry Belafonte has visited Caracas, so has Cindy Sheehan. They have formed a Bush-bashing brotherhood. Chavez was in Iran this summer, Ahmadinejad in Venezuela last week, and both have been guests of Fidel Castro.
I'm sorry. I'm outraged by it, but I can't help but laugh.
On talk radio, conservatives like Rush Limbaugh slammed the Chavez speech.
Yeah, but you know what she left out of my report? What Kate Snow didn't put in the soundbite of me saying yesterday was that it is awfully similar to what Democrats say when you listen to Hugo Chavez. When you listen to Hugo Chavez and when you listen to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, it sounds like Democrats are writing their speeches and their talking points. She didn't put that in there. She puts in this little blurb. Gotta laugh about it. Note the idolatry here. Note the fawning. Oh, isn't he cute? Why, this is amazing. He's even attracted a following in this country. Harry Belafonte, Cindy Sheehan. Come on, folks. These people at ABC have to know that Harry Belafonte and Cindy Sheehan are absolute tokens of an anti-America, anti-Bush movement. And to try to portray them as representative of the American electorate or the American population is insulting. And then with the Bush-bashing brotherhood, they say, with all sorts of fascination. Guests of Castro. Why, it's almost like they wish they would have been invited to attend all these things, like it was the biggest social event or series of events that have taken place this summer, and they were left out. And so they're sucking up. I tell you, this is all good, though. This is all going to redound to the benefit of the country in the sense that people who normally don't care about elections, don't care about politics, get sour. When these outsiders come in here and start blatantly, rudely attacking the country and the country's president, this is the kind of thing that causes normal and average people to get mad and be outraged. The elites and the leaders inside the Beltway have no sense of that. David Brooks, the New York Times today, is absolutely right. Now, I predicted that the left wing would say that Chavez's speech was the result of George Bush ruining U.S. prestige in the world. Here's a little segment last night from Hardball, Chris Matthews talking to Joe Scarborough.
I think the danger, of course, in the long run is that although that cartoon will have its effect and the president will win this round, it does take away from the long-term problem we face of erosion of American prestige in the world and our growing level of hostility out there to us and what that's going to mean to our kids.
Of course, the president's unilateralism has hurt this country. I don't want to detract from that, but remember, we were loathed in the United Nations for 30 or 40 years during the Cold War also. We survived Khrushchev banging his heels on his desk, and we'll survive this, too.
Khrushchev's, I feel nostalgic for that old bastard.
All right, that comment aside, and leaving Joe Scarborough aside for a moment, it is touching to listen to Chris Matthews worry about what the level of hostility the United States receives from people around the world and how that worries him about his kids' future. Does he watch his own show at night? I wonder if he watches his own show. Hugo Chavez has said nothing that has not been said 100 times with different words on cable news shows nightly devoted to destroying the Bush administration. Chavez might have called Bush the devil. Chavez might have talked about sulfur. What's the difference? Bush equals Hitler. Bush lied. People died. Bush is a murderer. The drive-by media, the American left, the Democratic Party has so far outpaced Hugo Chavez and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. It would take 6 months of Hugo Chavez making speeches in this country to catch up and do the damage that the drive-by media has done the past 3 to 4 years to this country and its reputation around the world. Chavez has a long way to go. I'm reading the transcript of this Chris Matthews soundbite I just played. Let me do it again here. The president will win this round. It does take away from the long-term problem we face of erosion of American prestige in the world and our growing level of hostility to us. It does take away. I'm trying to figure out if he's saying here that Chavez's speech takes away from the long-term problem we face of erosion of American prestige. I think the danger, of course, in the long run is, although that cartoon will have its effect. Yeah, he's mad. Actually, he's upset that Chavez is overshadowing, in his view, overshadowing the notion that America has lost prestige in the world and to our growing level of hostility towards us and what that's going to mean to our kids. So he's a little bit upset that Chavez is saying these things because it's going to focus attention on Chavez rather than Bush. My analysis still holds. The drive-by media has done more to facilitate whatever damage to our image has been done. And I refuse to believe that there is damage to our image, by the way. I think that's as big a myth as the myth that there was unity for a week after 9/11. I refuse to believe that because I know it isn't true. And I don't think our prestige is down in the world. I think it's down among the usual suspects who always hate us. Dictators, thugs, liberals, leftists, socialists, and communists who have never liked us. And the idea that they once did when we had a different president is absurd. And the idea that they all of a sudden stopped liking us and that our prestige... And besides that, who cares what dictators, thugs, terrorists, liberals, communists, and socialists think of us anyway? But I just refuse to believe this notion our prestige is down. But I'll tell you what is happening, and that is that more of these thugs, racists, dictators, communists, and so forth are being energized to not only speak out against Bush in this country, they're coming here on our own soil and doing it. And Mr. Matthews, my good friend, I'm just telling you, you can choose to believe me or not. I'm just telling you that in the eyes of average normal Americans, it is you and your colleagues and what I call the drive-by media providing the cover and offering, in fact, the invitation for people like Chavez and Ahmadinejad to say what they say with impunity when they can come here and receive standing ovations. Who is creating this hate for America before they stand up and profess it themselves? Who is it that's sending signals all over the world that we rape, that we murder, that we torture? Who is it sending signals that the U.S. is unjust, that the U.S. is an occupier, that the United States is engaged in conquering countries for their oil. Who's saying all these things? Who is lying about these things? Who's saying all these things which aren't true? Who is conveying the impression that the United States is the focus of evil in the modern world? Mr. Matthews, it is you and your colleagues. Nightly and daily, anywhere you go, newspapers, magazines, cable television, broadcast network news, doesn't matter. It is clear to anybody watching, and CNN International, BBC, throw them in the mix here too. And by the time people around the world start watching what the drive-by media around the world says about this country, why, your question ought to be, what are you doing to foster the attitude that you believe is resulting in the lack of our prestige? It is pure sophistry to suggest and to believe and to proclaim that one man, George W. Bush, is bringing about all of this by virtue of his policies. Shall we go through some of these policies? Do we have to waste time doing that? Take a look at the U.S. economy. Take a look at U.S. unemployment. Take a look at the uptick in prosperity. Take a look at tax receipts pouring in. The government's floating in money. There's all kinds of economic opportunity for the American people. We got an immigration problem because people around the world are starving, can't wait to get here to make a life for themselves, one way or the other. We have record donations from our country to fight AIDS. George W. Bush has done more to fight AIDS in Africa than Bill Clinton ever thought of doing. Bill Clinton has apologized to Africa and done nothing else. Now he's come up with this big AIDS conference. All these people gathering in New York, I think this week, in fact, maybe this weekend. The deeds of George W. Bush do not match the coverage that he gets, nor do the deeds of the people of this country. The people of this country are paying taxpayer dollars to fund research for illness and sickness all over the world. When there is a tsunami, when there is a hurricane, when there is an earthquake around the world, there is one country that comes to the rescue of the rest of the world, and it's us. This never is reported upon. All that's reported upon is how we're late arriving, or how Iran doesn't want our aid when they had the earthquake in Qom, or what have you. Any opportunity you people have to portray America and its leadership in a negative light, you take it. You even invent opportunities. So if you're going to sit there and worry about the future of your children based on a declining U.S. image abroad, look in the mirror before you point and look at the White House. By the way, when Hugo Chavez was speaking, he still is, but none of the networks have continued coverage. They bumped out of it shortly after he began. They might have stuck with it. I think Fox stuck with it longer than anybody. You're watching C-SPAN in there. Is he on C-SPAN? Not on C-SPAN. So the networks didn't stick with Hugo Chavez very long. I think that's interesting, too. PMSNBC hardly covered it at all. Fox tried to stay with it, but it became so repugnant that it was pointless. I mean, why give a raving lunatic and madman such broadcast? Now, Fox is just tuning back in now, just see what's going on. But the bottom line is this. During the initial coverage of Hugo Chavez's speech at a church in Harlem, Charlie Rangel came on, and he just scolded Chavez. He said on Fox News, don't you come to... Now, Chavez couldn't hear him because Chavez is making a speech. And I don't know if Rangel has called Chavez, but Chavez is in Rangel's district, which is Harlem. And Rangel said, don't you come to our country and insult our president. That, ladies and gentlemen, breaks new ground. He has never said that. Fox is replaying it now as we speak. He has never said that about Fidel Castro. He's never said that about anybody else that's come to this country. But he did say it today, half hour ago, 20 minutes ago, on Fox, to and about Hugo Chavez. Now, why? What is changing out there? Want to take a guess, Mr. Snerdly? It's a backlash is taking place, ladies and gentlemen. Charlie Rangel senses the backlash brewing out there. Not just Rangel, but the Democrats and the liberals see the backlash beginning to take place. And they have to get themselves on a side that doesn't equate them with Hugo Chavez. There is no doubt in my mind They see the backlash. The November elections are coming up. And don't forget, the post-Labor Day scenario these people imagined for themselves has not materialized. It's just the opposite. They thought they'd be well on their way to Bush in the 20s in terms of approval numbers, on their way to winning 3 to 350 seats in the House. They believe everybody hates Bush as much as they do. And then when Chavez shows up and actually articulates the hate that they feel, it's time to shut Chavez up and it's time to chide him. But Chavez is just a pretender. Chavez just getting on the plane, the bus, the train, what have you, the SUV that all the other liberals in this country have been on for 5 years. Some of the people in the audience at the Hugo Chavez speech at the church in Harlem are from Alaska. They have been flown in. Others have been bussed in from Canada. Here is one of the reasons why, a story from yesterday in the Anchorage Daily News. A Venezuelan-owned oil company will warm 12,000 rural Alaska homes this winter with an enormous gift of heating fuel that some elated residents in the bush call a godsend. And ironic, the donation from Houston-based Citgo, don't buy that, they may be based there, it's Venezuela's company. The donation from Citgo will buy 100 gallons of fuel for every household in 151 villages. But the gift, worth roughly $5 million, comes courtesy of Venezuela, whose President Chavez is pals with America's enemies and supports Iran's nuclear ambitions. Margaret Williams of Hughes in the Interior in Alaska said it doesn't matter who's providing the heating fuel, which cost about $6 a gallon in the Koyukuk River village of 69. We sure could welcome it, and as long as we don't have to pay, that's great. In the Kobuk River village of Ambler, heating fuel running more than $7 a gallon. Residents in the village of 283 and surrounding villages are ecstatic, said the tribal administrator. It's a miracle. Each household will save more than $700 in fuel costs this winter, freeing cash for people to spend on gasoline so they can hunt more caribou and moose. Hugo Chavez. And that's what's happening. It's a PR thing in addition to everything else he's doing.